fact, the Portland Design Commission, for Thursday, January 16th, 2020. Welcome, everyone. And we are joined today by members of the Adjustments Committee and also the Historic Landmarks Commission. So let's start with introductions. And if every person who is a member of a committee will state their name into a microphone, then we will have everybody's name and voice on record. Starting with Brian.
Brian McCarter, Design Commission.
Jessica Molinar, Design Commission. Chandra Robinson, Design Commission.
Ernestina Fuenmayor, Landmark Commission.
Kristen Miner, Landmarks Commission.
Derek Spears, Landmarks Commission.
Leslie Hamilton, Adjustment Committee.
Dan Zalko, Adjustment Committee.
Don Vallister, Design Commission.
Linda Bauer, Adjustment Committee.
Sam Rodriguez, Design Commission.
Excellent. And I am Julie Livingston with Design Commission. And there are a couple of folks from BDS here today as well. I'm looking at Tim. Tim's looking at Laura.
Oh, sorry.
Laura Duvall.
Tim Herron.
Excellent. Thank you. Commission members and Adjustment Committee members are private citizens appointed by the mayor to provide review of large projects within designated design zones. We are not paid but serve entirely as volunteers. More detailed information regarding the purpose and function of the commissions and the Adjustments Committee can be found in the Portland Zoning Code. Is that true for Adjustments Committee? Are you like all written up in the code? You must be. That is, I'm sure you live and die by the code. Commission members must declare a conflict of interest, bias, or ex parte contact prior to the staff presentation of a particular case. If a commission member has a conflict of interest or bias, they are not allowed to participate in commission discussion or voting on that project. And if a member has had an ex parte contact, they must declare the substance of it on the record and it is subject to rebuttal. So our first item today, in fact, is not, I don't believe that this requires any disclosure because I don't think that there's any chance that any of us could have a conflict of interest, that there would be a perception of bias or even an ex parte contact. We are beginning today with a quasi-judicial and ethics refresher from the city attorney's office. That will last about 45 minutes, most likely. Following that, we will have a major encroachment review. And I think that major encroachment review is advice only. This is not something that the Design Commission will ever vote on. This is advice only because the encroachment goes to City Council. A major encroachment review for a new sky bridge proposed at Terwilliger Plaza. That will likely last for about an hour. And then our last item today, I thought we had a vote today. Is there no vote today on Hyatt Place?
No, it's there.
Not going to happen today.
It will happen today,
We plan to hold a vote today on the Hyatt Place and Allison Residences in the Pearl District. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Tim.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, very quickly. Thank you all for coming. And wow. I thought I knew the Plains Sustainability Commission had a lot of members, but when I see all of you at the dais, I'll just take a moment and say thank you very much for your service and your volunteerism and what you do. I know we just walked out of a really, really neat session. It's kind of hard to switch gears to a quasi-judicial and legal and ethics refresher right now. But it is my pleasure to introduce Chief Deputy City Attorney Lindley Reese. We work with her regularly. You don't see her as often, but there is no doubt, at least a lot of us, and certainly I do a lot better by lots of phone calls and lots of meetings before I show up in front of you. So, without further ado, welcome.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everybody. I think it's really tough to follow an ethics discussion because you've just had this discussion about some really meaningful, deep things, and then I get to come here and be your party police, and I get to say, these are the things you can't do. But I this is a really important thing. I think Tim instigated this maybe 4 years ago as a way for us, one, to get our faces in front of you so you'd know, hey, there's somebody out there who's providing this information to staff. but also because questions come up throughout the year, and sometimes it's better to hear from us. So I have things I'm going to talk about, but this really should be driven by all of you and the kinds of concerns or questions that are coming up for you. I'm going to talk primarily about quasi-judicial hearings and some of the ex parte conflict of interest concerns that we see. I'm going to talk a little bit about public records law, public meetings laws, and finish with a quick discussion of limitations on political activities. Really fun stuff, all of it. I mean, it is really important, and you do see in other jurisdictions, complaints are filed and people have proceedings in front of the Oregon Ethics Commission. We've been really fortunate that, for the most part, we haven't had those issues at the city. I think that's part of it is because of all of your dedication, and you make sure you're aware of the issues and talk to Tim about it if you have any questions. So we're raising awareness so you know if there's a potential issue, and you can talk to Tim or whomever your staff liaison is. So the basic concept behind quasi-judicial hearings is that the people who appear in front of you have the opportunity for a fair and impartial hearing of the facts. So all of these rules are geared toward making sure that when they show up in front of you, you're looking at what they present, you're weighing that against the approval criteria. And there aren't other things that are coming into the decision making that they don't have a chance to rebut or talk about in front of you. So there's notice requirements because we want to make sure everybody has a chance to get here. And those are found in both zoning code and in the state law. And then we in the code and in state law have public hearing requirements, which is people have the ability to testify after they've been notified. They get to come, they get to talk. They have the ability to ask that the record be held open, those kinds of things. And those in the packets when you did your initial training coming out of your commission, the packet has those code provisions so you can look at them. So I'd like to dig in a little deeply into ex parte contacts because I know that, you know, for example, Julie or the commissioner read what you need to do when you have an ex parte contact. But let's talk a little bit about what that means. What it means is, both under code and state law, if there's a communication between you and a party who has an interest in that proceeding, or if you have other types of information, whether verbal, visual, I don't know what else there could be, what other sensory perceptions there might be, some other way that you get information about a particular project or a site, that information you need to disclose on the record so that the people at the hearing can say, hey, that's not correct, or you got incorrect information, let me rebut that. So some of the types of things that you'll see include site visits. So if you make a visit after the application is filed and you gain factual information during that site visit that's affecting your how you're weighing the evidence in the case, that's something you need to disclose on the record. If a person sees you at the grocery store and they say, hey, Julie, I'm going to pick on you over and over again, I'm sure. Julie, I live next to this project. I think it's really wonderful, and I really want you to vote this way. That's an ex parte contact. And so I'm happy to talk a little bit more about how you divert people, which is when they say, hey, Julie, about that project, you say, stop. I'm not allowed to have ex parte contacts with you. Please stop. But in terms of what happens when those contacts happen, you have to publicly announce it. And then we have to give somebody the ability to rebut that. If you receive communication in written form, you can also just put that information into the record, and then it becomes not an ex parte contact anymore. It just becomes part of the public record. Know that when you have contact with staff, or when staff has contact with others, staff is not an outside party who you have to disclose an ex parte contact. There's an exception to that, which is if the city is itself an applicant, so Parks Bureau, Water Bureau is an applicant, we try to keep them from talking to you directly about their application because that could form an ex parte contact. I'm trying to think, Tim, have there been any interesting ex parte issues that we should flesh out, or do any of you have any ex parte contact questions?
I went to an event and I sat next to a couple of gentlemen that I didn't know, and it turns out that they had a project in front of us, and
they recognized me and started talking about it, and I stopped it right there. But I did declare it at the next hearing.
I think that's perfect. And the reason is, so one, great to stop it before the substance begins. But we've had situations, especially at council, because people recognize elected officials out in public. And if somebody saw you talking to the developer of a project, somebody might think something had happened. So disclosure in that circumstance is great. There's nothing wrong with more disclosure. It's better. So that's a great example.
Excuse me, a question. If you read, let's say, a letter to the editor in the local paper, do you need to disclose that as a...
Yes, we recommend that if you read an article that either contains facts about a case or contains editorial comment, that you would disclose that. And again, that might be an appropriate thing if the record is still open to ask that staff include it in the record, because it may be that everybody read it. So, good question. Okay.
I have one more.
Sure.
And it's because I'm a frequent flyer as well as a commissioner. So, and I know a lot of developers in town. I don't talk to them about these things, and they know not to talk. Otherwise, I have to recuse myself. I told them I'll recuse myself. But it is very, very difficult to walk that line.
I agree. I think it is difficult. And I think it may become more difficult, especially if you don't know that a project is coming before your commission and they are talking about it, and then all of a sudden it becomes clear. So you're not necessarily going to have to recuse yourself. And we'll talk a little bit about conflicts of interest, which is when you typically will have to recuse yourself. Ex parte simply means you're going to need to disclose it. There is, I mean, I would say one thing you need to think about is allegations of bias. And that's the kind of thing, Sam, where if somebody feels you're too close to something, that you couldn't judge the application based on the facts weighed against the criteria, then you may have to recuse yourself for bias. I will give the example. It's a really high bar for bias. I mean, there are people, I can think of one of the LNG facilities over on the coast. Somebody got elected on the sole platform of defeating an LNG facility, and it was determined they did not have bias because in that case they were able to analyze the facts against the criteria. But Mayor Katz, she had a really strong feeling about cell phone towers and their impacts on cancer. And she would recuse herself because she felt like she could not fairly judge an application against the criteria. That's the kind of thing where you're going to end up with bias. So it doesn't happen often. And if you feel like that may be a situation, talk to Tim or whomever your staff liaison is, and we'll work through that. Let's talk briefly about conflicts of interest. Conflicts of interest are always financial conflicts of interest under state law and our city's rules on conflict of interest. It's when you either would or could have a financial benefit or detriment as a result of a decision that you might make on one of the commissions. And it's not just you, it's you, your family members, or a business with which you're associated. So your development company, obviously you would have a conflict of interest if one of your projects was coming in front of the commission, or if your father-in-law was bringing a project in front. There are two types of conflicts. One is an actual, and that is it clearly would be to your financial benefit or detriment. So again, we'll use Commissioner Rodriguez as an example. If his company is building a building, there clearly is a financial benefit to them if the project is approved or not approved. And he would need to recuse himself and not participate. But if there's only a potential out there, so that's a good example. If your firm is looking to be in a new building and there's a project in front of the commission, and you've been thinking about this might be a pretty cool building to be in, I hope it gets built, that's more likely to be, and you've been in kind of conversations with the owners about potentially being there, that's a potential conflict of interest, meaning it might be to our benefit because we think we're going to get this great deal. I would mostly just like to raise your awareness level. We don't think we expect you to know the difference necessarily between an actual and a potential conflict of interest. The city's interest is in making sure that the decision is defensible and doesn't get challenged on somebody saying, hey, this person had a conflict and participated. And so if you're like, I'm just not sure whether my sister-in-law being involved in some way with this project would be a conflict. Again, talk to your staff representative and we'll talk about what kind of advice to provide.
Yeah. Is there any difference between a for-profit entity and a nonprofit entity?
Yes, under state law, there is. Under state law, so the definition of, I remember I said, if you have a financial interest, a relative, or a business with which you're associated, a business with which you're associated is defined not to include not-for-profit entities, and that includes government entities. So if somebody works for a government body, that doesn't create a conflict of interest under state law. I know. It is honestly more complicated than I just don't expect that you'll have all the nuances of that. And while we cannot provide you with personal legal advice, we can, because our interest is in making sure the city makes a defensible decision, we can certainly give you some information. And if it seems like a close enough call, may advise you to seek legal counsel or talk to the Oregon Government Ethics Commission about it. Which this is the party police part. This is your own personal obligation to comply with the conflict of interest rules, and we cannot be your attorney in that situation. So we may tell you, boy, this looks, worrisome. You may need to seek legal counsel or call the OGC, but you won't be able to say my lawyer Lindley told me I could do this. All right.
Can I ask you a question though? If there's a challenge, excuse me, if there's a challenge to a decision that's made here, and I'm considered to be that I should have maybe recused myself, or there's some bias of some sort, and it goes to court, do we have to defend ourselves?
No, the city, we will defend all decisions of the commission. So, and there, we've had numerous cases over the years where, there's been an allegation of bias or an inappropriate ex parte contact, those kinds of things. And yes, we defend the commission's decision. It's simply if there's a complaint filed with the Oregon Government Ethics Commission, we cannot defend you there.
Could I ask?
Sure.
So this brings up a question I wanted to ask today as it relates to sort of directors and officers insurance akin to a nonprofit board. Most of the boards I've ever served on had directors and officers insurance. Let's say it's a similar situation where someone were to go after someone's professional license or something, we wouldn't expect that the city would defend our position. You'd be the city's attorney. Is there anything that would preclude the commission from purchasing an officers and directors insurance policy that would be there for us if any of us ever had a legal issue?
I don't know the answer to that. We can look at that. Right. It may have come up before, but I don't know.
Really inexpensive for nonprofits to buy it. And so, anyway, you have to do something quite egregious to...
Is that a scenario where an applicant personally sued a commission?
I don't want to get into a specific case, but it had to do with a potential license. And they filed an ethics complaint, and it required that person to hire attorneys. And... it was a great expense, and it just seems like, my professional liability insurance doesn't necessarily cover me for, here I am out in the public, so.
Okay, that's a good question.
Thank you.
We have, in previous years, we've talked about public meetings laws. I'll just touch on a couple of the basics. Must provide notice reasonably calculated to inform the public about time, place, and agenda, and Commissioner, I will say that the publicly available agenda today did include the vote on the hotel. So, and it may not be on yours, but it was publicly available.
In fact, I saw it on my monitor this morning. Yes, thank you. Okay. It was there.
Okay. Public meetings may be conducted electronically, but there must be adequate public notice and access to the meeting, even if it's done electronically. Let's see, we must keep a record of our public meetings through written minutes, which I'm sure you all approve on a regular basis. All of the public meetings rules apply when there's a quorum of this body, of each of your bodies meeting. And for all of you, a quorum is 4 members. If there are fewer than 4, you can't meet to do your business. And 2, even if you were you know, at a social gathering and there were three of you talking about something, it wouldn't necessarily be a public meeting. One of the things we worry about, both with your commissions and with city council, is inadvertent public meetings. And that can happen in one of two ways. A quorum of you is at an event and you start talking about a case. That's a big no-no. Don't do that. It's not appropriate to talk about cases outside of this setting when there's a quorum present. Second is through email. If you use email in a way that is similar to contemporaneous conversation, you know, through text messaging or email, and you're doing it quickly and it's like a conversation, there's some indication in the law that that could constitute a public meeting as well. So one of the things we ask you not to do is a lot of reply all emailing or texting, as the case may be. So try to avoid that. If there's a letter that's being written by the commission, have everybody reply just to the person who has submitted it out, not to the entire group. So we can avoid that possible issue. Public records law, just remember that a public record is any writing that contains information concerning the work you're doing that is used or retained by a public body. Something you write on, I'm thinking design commission, when you have a set of plans, or historic landmarks commission, you have a set of plans in front of you, you're writing notes on it, that's a public record. So all of those things you are required to retain and keep for the required public records retention period. So our advice to you is, one, if I were on a commission, I would have a notebook and I would just have that be the one place that I keep all my notes if possible. If it's important to write on sets of plans, make sure you have a big box and you just stick them in there when the case is over and transmit that box to staff. And they love that gift. You could wrap it and say, happy holidays. You've got to keep those things. Otherwise, just so you know, knowingly destroying public records can constitute a criminal offense. It doesn't happen very often. It's usually if you're doing it purposefully. But keep those records, share them with staff. And in fact, you don't have to keep them till the end of your tenure. When you're done, just hand them over. One of the things to be really wary of is use of home computers and personal devices in communicating about this work. And the reason is that if somebody makes a public records request and you have not copied staff who can be in charge of keeping all those records, so, you know, I'm just going to, if two of you are texting back and forth about a hearing, you are all of a sudden converting your device into something that might be discoverable either for a public records request or litigation. We really don't want to have to take your phone away or take your home computer away to do that. So the way to deal with that is, one, I don't think you provide city email addresses, Tim, to this group. Do you have city email addresses?
Some commissioners do. Some commissioners do.
Some do. If you have one, use that. Otherwise, always, if you are communicating electronically, always copy staff, and then staff will be responsible for keeping the document or keeping that record.
Catherine, one quick clarification. If you write a bunch of notes or questions, for example, on a piece of paper, but you actually ask them on the record, you don't need to keep that document, right?
Yeah, I think that's correct. If that information is in the record, okay. I think you're fine. That's correct. Let's see. I think that's all I wanted to talk about on that. Political activities. We are in prime election season right now for some local races. Please bear in mind that while you are on the job during working hours as a public official, so that doesn't mean in your private life, it means while you're on the commission or if you're appearing somewhere on behalf of the commission, you may not promote or oppose candidates, measures, signature campaigns. So, you know, what does that mean for this group? It means, you know, when you're at the mic, don't say, hey, by the way, I really support X for city commissioner or county commissioner. It also means that these bodies should not take positions on any measures that are being voted on or any of the candidacies. It came up once with respect to a state legislative measure. That's not the kind of measure we're talking about. We're talking about things that are going to appear on the ballot. So just be cognizant of it. If you have questions, ask. Those are actually enforced through the Secretary of State's office. And those tend to happen a little more frequently because if people are public officials and they're saying something into a microphone and somebody hears it and thinks, well, that's clearly supportive of a candidate, they may file a complaint. So we don't want you to get into that situation. So I think that's all I really wanted to cover. Is there anything, Tim, that I've missed that you'd like me to address?
Does commissioners have any questions? We have time to take questions. That's why everyone was here.
Go ahead, you first.
So this gets back to ex parte and home computers and that kind of thing. But let's say I get a case file in front of me and it mentions something about mass timber, and I don't know anything about mass timber, so I Google it. Do I ex parte that at the meeting?
Yes, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay. And just say I Googled.
What does that mean?
Well,
just so
I think another commissioner can give you more background on that. But
Lindley, you will love it. You will love mass timber.
Yeah, mass timber is the rage.
I mean, I love the timbers, but that's way different. So, okay.
In the ex parte declaration, is it I Googled on January 14th mass timber? Or, like, what is it?
Yeah, I mean, I think sometimes people do more or less of a disclosure. I think what's important is the substance of that, which is I Googled this and the definition of Merriam-Webster was this. And that's all you need to do. Or if it's a person, I had a conversation with Bob in the grocery store. Bob, you know, told me how much he hated mass timber. And I asked him to stop, but he kept talking and then I walked away. That's plenty.
Lindley, my question has to do with disclosures about perception of bias, and you didn't really say anything about that. You know, there's is it ever a good idea to say something like, I live a block away from this project, I don't know the people that own it or whatever, to head that off? Or shall we just, you know, if we have determined, you know, for ourselves and maybe talking with staff that we don't feel like we have a bias, should we say anything?
It's in the city code of ethics is a non-binding code of ethics. It's a set of expectations for how we behave as public officials. One of those is avoid even the appearance of impropriety. And to me, there are a number of situations where it would be a really good idea just because probably somebody knows that you live right near it and you may as well get it out there. I don't think it hurts anything to disclose that. I don't think it's always necessary. But if you live near it, in some ways you might disclose it by saying, as an ex parte contact, I walk by the site every day because it's near my house. And Commissioner Fritz, I think, regularly has made disclosures like that.
I just want to confirm the way I approach this. But if I have a procedural question about a project application, I usually contact Tim and or Tim and Kara.
That's not an ex parte.
And then if I got a specific question about a guideline or a standard, I contact the BDS case planner, and I don't nobody else, and have a direct dialogue either by phone or by email with them, and that's inbounds.
It is inbounds.
Okay.
Contact with staff. I think. A lot of times that ends up coming into the conversation anyway, because obviously if it's at the front of your mind, it's something you want to talk about as part of the application. But sometimes it's just you thought something said could be read one way, and the answer is it's not read that way. And so you know, your mind is at ease. But no, I don't think you need to disclose that.
Can I double down on what Brian just said? I mean, a big part of what staff is doing is to make your job easier. So if you're spinning on something or this doesn't make sense and whatever that may be in the staff report or the materials or something is obviously missing, contacting that case planner, it would save you so much time. And I could definitely speak for our staff. We live for that contact to help you do your job better.
And I guess I would add, however, that, you know, at some point the record is closed. And it wouldn't be appropriate to keep seeking that information after the record is closed, I think. Okay.
Good. I just have one last question, maybe. So there's obviously a lot of changes happened in the last few years in planning. There's DOZA, there's all sorts of things going on there, and there's a lot of different groups that are trying to influence it one way or another, and I belong to one of them. Not as a design review commissioner, but just as a practitioner of development in the city. And we also dabble in politics a little bit in some of these groups. So where's the line?
In terms of?
I don't know. As a private citizen, you can do whatever politics you want, right? And you can try to influence whatever policies you want, right?
I would say that the primary line legally is going to be conflicts of interest. Is it something that has a financial benefit for you? Now, keep in mind that for a legislative project, the design commission is never the final decision maker. It's always city council. And so you will always have only a potential conflict of interest, which means that on the record you say, you know, I belong to this group. We're really interested in this, you know, particular policy. I just want to make sure that's on the record, but I'll be participating. Okay. All right. Well, I will see you all next year. I really appreciate your time. This is not all like fun and happy information, but we really appreciate the work you do. We have, unless I know you work in another city, but I still think Portland has the best commissions around. You do really great work. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Lindley. See you next January.
Julie, could we take a solid 15-minute break just so we could gently get out of here? We're a little ahead of schedule.
Let's do that. We're going to take a 15-minute break, and that will allow us to set the room up for the major encroachment review for the Terwilliger Plaza Skybridge.
That's true or not. So, the whole line's up to you. First thing I woke up.
two of them.
What happened with my adjustment?
I was hungry too. The first thing out of my mouth was, I want a cheeseburger. No, no, that was a joint meeting.
Christy sent me a text yesterday and said, Sam's running. And I thought she was talking about you for a second.
Are you kidding me?
Really surprised.
God forbid.
Right?
Are you kidding
I was like, that's
me?
That. Yeah. 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 Right. You're a great public servant now. You'd be great on city council.
I will not do that.
I would be sure. Please. I know.
I'm there. Yeah. I don't miss those issues.
The form of government.
Congrats, though.
Yeah.
Being a grandfather.
Yeah, that's kind of fun, you know? And, yeah. I mean, one of the kids.
You've got the appearance of power, but
the actual power. Oh, wow.
Yes. For sure. Actually, Christy was speaking at a group economic forecast.
That's not fair.
Okay.
The last time I.
So, anyway.
Well, oops, that's my glasses. I'm sticking
on. Yeah, and then there's the politics in Irvington. Politics of John Babbitt are so good, but
you know, sitting in the landmarks commission and seeing your power it's like,
oh. And there's going to be no changes in our policy. No changes.
It's all right. I'm going to get on my way.
It's really good to chat with you, Don.
I got to have it for bed.
This is my cheat sheet for you for the SkyBridge.
Oh, okay.
It'll be in the PowerPoint too. Right?
All right.
That was just a joke.
When?
Let's see.
Next week sometime?
Yeah, next week.
Okay.
Interesting.
Warm, new, over beer.
So, are you guys really going to bunch up over there?
Let me know.
Hey, are you guys really going to bunch up over there? It's just me by myself over here, and the four of you are going to be.
So she's going to read. She's going to run the show.
Oh, really?
I just gave everyone this copy, both. She offered to do both.
Okay.
And you'll understand why. It's just read like four lines.
Okay. Got it.
This is just a cheat sheet for the SkyBridge.
Okay.
It'll be in the PowerPoint too.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, this is cool.
here this afternoon. Yeah, I got here quite early this morning. There was a kind of sustainable commission thing that I had to go to. So I've been here for a while. I'm going to go back and spend a few hours in the office.
I did. I should be safe now.
This one, we are not under quite the same scrutiny. But
I could not stop laughing all the way back to the office. I could not stop laughing.
You're leaving?
I'm leaving.
Well, listen, since we don't really have much to say about this anyway.
Right. I did not find out that was true.
No, I was going to tell you.
Okay.
Yeah, I totally got it.
No,
your neighborhood coffee shop these days.
Oh, every morning I'm frustrated. Every morning. I don't have it figured out yet.
It's kind of like the
Cardinal story. Oh,
yeah. The nurse's son takes over.
Yeah.
Runs
I remember, yep.
Yeah. So it's been real disappointing.
Yeah.
You reclaimed your place?
They just barely finished the freaking last cabinet. You're talking about my cabinet, my kitchen. What are you talking about?
No.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I had my stuff, so I'm like, I claimed it. Because I know Julie likes my spot.
No, she likes your spot.
So I claimed it. This is mine.
Can I have 30 seconds?